Okay, good morning everybody. Shavu and Chodesh Tov. Welcome back after a very long hiatus due to the calendar and the Yom Tov schedule with Pesach just over a week ago. We have not met for a long time. So I hope everyone is having tremendous siyata d'shmaya and their inyanei shmiras halashon. Let's get into our learning. We'll begin with this field. Alta Dibur, please. Ribbono shel Olam, yihi ratzon lefanecha, el rachum v'chanan, shetizakeinu hayim, u'b'chol yom lishmer piyu u'lishoni, milashon hara v'chilas, v'ezarim l'daber filo al yishyachi, v'kol shkein ha'kla Yisrael, o l'chelek mehem, v'kol shkein mishrem al midosu shakadosh baruch hu, v'ezarim l'daber divrei sheker, chanuf ha'mechokas kas gaiva, o'na estvarim halbanas panim leitzanus, v'chol dibur azar, v'zakeinu shelo daber kim daber hatzarich u'inane gufi v'nafshi, V'yu kam asai v'diburai l'shem shamayim amein v'amein. So as always, we are learning the Yidui and the Zecher Nishmas Tzvi Gershom v'Yov v'Chana Alav Hashem. And Hashem should have a continuous aliyah and zechira l'tova and the merit of the Divrei Torah that we will share this morning. Also, as is chos aliyah and zechira neshama for Zev Wolf Ben Yishai Alav Hashem, then Hashem should also merit an aliyah and the chos of the Divrei Torah with your continued permission for a refuah for bracha v'gaya basra achel gita v'soch she'archol Yisrael. So let us get right into our learning because we have tons to learn. I prepared a lot to teach and I hope Hashem is going to give me the time to do so. So we're really in the middle of a piece by Rav Moshe Feinstein. For those who remember, we are in the middle of an article by Rav Moshe. I made a mark and a notation where we finished. I screen shared last time. I made a notation exactly where we finished, except that this past week was Parshas Tezria Masora. We had a double sedge of Tezria Masora, so I'm going to be teaching something brand new I never learned before, and then I prepare for Shir related to Inyanei Tzora'as, because of course, like the Gemara tells us in Erechin Tazayin Aleph, there are seven reasons, Al Shiva Dvarim Nega'im Ba'in, the most famous one, and quoted by Rashi in his Perush on the Chumash, is that Nega Tzaras comes for the sin of Lashon Hara. There's Lashon Hara, Tzaras Ayin, Shvichos Damim, Gezel, Shvua Shav, Gasus Haruach, or am I forgetting Gilui Arayus? So those are the seven sins that cause Lashon Hara. It's interesting, it's a whole shir, but each one can actually be traced back to a sin of speech. Each of those, including Shvichos Damim, Gezel, and Gilui Arayus, could be understood in terms of sins of speech, but that's not what we're going to focus on today. So Rashi quotes on Chumash and teaches us, informs us. He also quotes by the Eitz Eras that Gasus Haruach is a cause for Lashon Hara, and so is Tzara'as comes from Lashon Hara. So I want to talk about, but first, before we get to this amazing, beautiful Kli Yakar, I had to learn through it a few times to make sure I understood all of it, look up some other things in Tanakh, Hashem should help us get through. I want to quote a very interesting article. We're coming off of Chag HaPesach. So some of the lessons we're supposed to take from Chag HaPesach and carry with us into the season ahead, into Chag HaAviv, moving into Zman HaKayetz. We just came from Chag HaPesach. So there's many lessons from Chag HaPesach, which is known as Zman Chirusinu, the time of our freedom. That, you know, when the Yom Tov ends, should we be the same person that we were before? Should we just go Vayashav Bilam El Makomo? Should we just go being the same person that we were? Should we be changed? What are the lessons of the Chag that we should take with us? So this was Zman Chirusinu. So of course there's the mitzvah of Amunah, the Inyanei Amunah, that Hashem took us out of Egypt, that He saved us. The belief in the Ribbono Shel Olam, not just in Amunah, but in the actual bitachon that we can implement our Amunah in seeing Yad Hashem in this world. And the Ramban famously tells us, the famous Ramban, at the end of Parshas Bo, Perek Yud Gimel, regarding the Geula, that a person does not have a chelik in Torah Smasher Rabo, a person does not have a chelik in the Torah of Knosh until he believes that all of Teva is an ish. So Chag HaPesach brings us to the belief that Teva is really a miracle, even though Hashem runs the world by Teva. Hashem is running the world through Nisim every single day. It reminds us that we are the chosen people. It reminds us that we didn't assimilate. It reminds us that we have Amunah. It reminds us that Pesach is the beginning of physical freedom, marching to Sinai, which is spiritual freedom. So there's many, many lessons, but I want to actually bring a beautiful lesson, which reminds us that Chag HaPesach is really a Yom Tov of where we find the koach of voice, the power of speech, and how we have to make sure to use the speech appropriately. So I'm quoting from, I don't know if anybody saw this journal, it was the Pesach Torah Journal, many different articles. It was put out by the National Council of Young Israel. Okay. I'm 2, issue 3, Pesach, Journals Mecherisenu v'Achdesenu. So many different Divrei Torah and articles in this journal. Now, I'm quoting from an article, you know, when I read this on Pesach, I thought, wow, I saved it on my desk until this year. But as I thought how beautiful this is, and of course, as you will see, totally relevant to the Shir and an important takeaway from Pesach. When we leave the Yom Tov of Pesach, we have to remember that we have the Koach HaDibur, and we are new people, we are free people, and that freedom of Torah must be reflected in the words that we choose to say and speak. So this article is called Finding Our Voice. It is by Rabbi Yosef Weinstock, the rabbi at Young Israel of Hollywood/Fort Lauderdale. Okay, so first, actually, I'm going to screen share to show you what he is referring to. Okay, you should be able to see since everybody is there behind a black box. If you can't see my screen, I guess you could just post on the chat. And for some reason, I know it's not working properly. So we are here in the beginning of Sefer Shmos. You should see that Shmos Perek Aleph, which details the descent into the Egyptian exile. Many, many of these psukim are read in the Haggadah. Okay, so we read that Yosef and his brothers were in Egypt. Yosef died, all his brothers, that whole generation, and the children of Israel were fruitful and teeming, and many, we read this in Haggadah, and very, very strong, and the land was filled with them. What is the first thing we know about the slave labor that the Yidden had to do? The Israelites, who weren't Yidden yet, like we understand, no matan Torah, but the Israelites. So a new king arose that didn't know Yosef. Let us be wise against the Bnei Israel. They are strong and mighty from us. Let us be smart against them. Maybe they'll kick us out of the land. So what did they do? Perak al pasuk get off in Shmos. By simul of sarim misim, they put upon them tax collectors, lamana noso besuvlosim, in order to oppress them with their burdens. By yivinari miskunos the paro. And they had to build storage cities for paro, es pisum the es ramses. Very famous. So the first thing we know about the slave labor after the tax oppression, the financial oppression, you know, your bank account's not your bank account, your painting's not your painting, your bicycle's not your bicycle, your apartment's not your apartment, and after that comes the slave labor. So now Paro had them building slave labor cities, and the first one is called Pisum, okay? Pei Tav Mem. You see it here on the screen. Okay, keep that in mind. Now we move actually to the Geula, okay? And this is the beginning of Parshas Peshach. Parshas Peshach is Shvi Shal Pasach. Okay, so that was the Egyptian enslavement. Now we move forward to the, we've moved forward about a couple hundred years. And now we are at the Geula. The Bnei Israel left at the end of Perek Yud Gimel. They leave Egypt. On the seventh day of Pasach, we have what we know as Kriyas Yamsuf. Okay. So you see that here on my screen. We now move to Perek Yudalad of Shemos. Vaydiber Shema Moshe Leimer. Daber al Bnei Yisrael. Vayashuvu vayachanu lefnei pi hachiros. Ben migdol ben ayam lefnei baal tzifon. Nichucho tachanu al yam. Okay. So they left Egypt. And it's a couple days after they have gone. And Paro says about the Bnei Yisrael, they're confused in the desert. The desert is closing upon them. Paro's heart once again becomes hard. He runs after them. Okay. And we're going to have Kriyas Yamsuf. So Hashem tells Moshe that they should return and they should camp lifnei pi hachiros. Okay, look at Rashi. Vayachanu lifnei pi hachiros. Hu pisom. Rashi says this is pisom. Remember the pisom that we saw in Perek Al Pasuk Gidal Vayivin Ari Miskunos Separ Es Pisom the Es Ramses. So Rashi says this pi hachiros is pisom. The Achshav Nikwa pi hachiros, and now it's called pi hachiros. Hashem Shenasu Sham Bnei Chorin. Why is it called Pihachiros? From the word Chorin. Zman Chirosedu. Why is it called Pihachiros if that is a place called Pisum where they built storage cities under the conditions of slave labor for power? Because it's Pihachiros because they became Bnei Chorin, free people, and there are two big rocks and a valley or a depression between them, and that's called Pihasalim. Okay, another interpretation. But we have to know for purposes of our insights is that this Pihachiros, where they were camped by Kriyas Yamsuf, is also known as Pisum. But the reason it's called Pi Hachiros is because now they have become Bnei Chorin. Okay, now I am going to this article by Finding Our Voice by Rabbi Yosef Weinstock, Young Israel of Hollywood for a lot of them. Again, why are we learning this? First of all, Torah is timeless, so it doesn't matter if Pesach passed a week and a half ago, and it's behind us. Pesach passed, get it? Passover, just joking. Because Torah is timeless, so any time of the year, you can learn these insights. But also, one of the takeaway lessons I want to show you of Chag HaPasach is that we must use the power of speech very carefully and consider each word before we speak it. Okay, here we go. Rabbi Yosef Weinstock writes, in the Torah reading for Shvi Shal Pasach, on the seventh day of Pasach, we read that upon leaving Egypt, the Jewish camp places and camps at a place called Pi hachiros, or pi hachirot. Rashi explains, I already showed you on the screen, that pi hachiros is the same as pisom, or pitom, as he writes. Now, Parsha Shmos tells us that Pishon was one of the storage cities that the Bnei Yisrael were forced to build for Paro towards the beginning of their enslavement. Why was it called Pishon? So the Gemara tells us in Sota Yud Aleph Aleph, the Gemara there in those blots, Sota Yud Aleph, Sota Yud Beis, speaks much about the slave labor, it speaks about Miriam Hanaviah telling her parents to get back together, it speaks about Avodas Perech, it speaks about the backbreaking work that they were enslaved. Okay, so the Gemara there in Sota Yud Aleph Aleph explains, the city was called Pisom because the earth was very soft, and any buildings that were built would sink into the ground. Pitahom. So that's Pisom. The Gemara says Pitahom. It's the mouth of the abyss. So they worked, they built a building. Next day they came back and there was no building. The efforts that the Jews expended on building Pishon was an exercise in futility. It was simply meant to frustrate and exasperate the slaves, increasing their subjugation, not only physical but also mental, at the hands of the Egyptians. There's a very famous story told. Rabbi Dr. Abram J. Twersky, Zuchon al-Vracha, tells it over. Yibadu al-Chaim Tovim Veruchim, Rabbi Zab Lefschlita tells it over. We have Esir, and there's different versions. If it's true or not true, I don't know, but it has a strong point. There's different versions, slightly different versions of the story. A prisoner was exiled to Siberia, and he was, condemned for 10 years. And he was in solitary confinement, but there was a lever in his room. And they told him that this lever, this wheel on the other side, is attached to flour mill. And no one talked to him. He was in solitary confinement. Every day when he woke up, he turned the lever and he imagined all the wheat that he was grinding. And he was making flour. His life had purpose. It was productive. Yes, he was in Siberia. Yes, he was punished. Yes, he had to be there for 10 years. But for 10 years, he's supplying Mother Russia with wheat. And finally, he gets out. When he gets out, they say, you're free, go home. He says, okay, that's wonderful. But before I go home, can I just see the flour mill where I was grinding wheat? And the captive, the guards start laughing at him. And they say, you fool. There was nothing attached to the other side of the lever. You weren't grinding anything. It was an exercise in futility. And from that, he died. He survived again. I think it's a mashal. He survived 10 years in captivity because he thought he had a purpose. And when he found out that he wasn't doing anything, that he couldn't handle. So the Gemara says in Sota Yud Aleph Aleph, why is it called Pisom Pitahom, the mouth of the abyss? They built, they worked, they were enslaved, but at least they were building a building, and they came back the next day, and there was nothing there. It sunk into the ground. Havel Havalim, the most futility of futilities, is working without purpose, without having any meaning to our days. So that's one shot of Pitahom, Pisom, from the Gemara. Okay. Now, interesting, continues Rabbi Yosef Weinstock, upon leaving Egypt, the Bnei Yisrael camp at the very same location. Only now it's no longer called Pishon. We saw in Perek Yedalet, right in the beginning of Perek Yedalet, showed it to you on the screen, Pasuk Beis, I believe. It's called Pihachiros. Biblical scholars suggest the literal meaning of the phrase is the opening of a valley, describing the topography of the spot. Remember, we saw it in Rashi, two big stones with a valley and depression in between. We saw that. That was the second pshat of Rashi. However, Rashi quotes the Midrashic tradition, the first pshat of Rashi, that the name Pihachiros is related to Chirus, freedom. Now, what's Pesach called? Zman Chirusenu. Shavuos is Zman Matan Torasenu, and Sukkos is Zman Simchasenu, but Pesach is Zman Chirusenu, the time of our freedom. And like we saw in Rashi, Pihachiros is really Pison, but why is it called Pihachiros? Because they achieved freedom. Here they got Chirus. The Jews began to feel the freedom upon their arrival at this occasion, Pihachiros. Interestingly, Medrash Lekach Tov explains there was an Egyptian law. If a slave escaped from Egypt, if he could reach Pihachiros without being caught, he was considered legally free. Pihachiros is considered legally, if you reach there, the slave, without being caught, you were considered free. But perhaps one can simply explain by going back to the spot where the slavery began. This is where they used to build buildings that sunk into the earth. With the circumstances so radically changed, now they were free and Egypt was destroyed. The nation was able to appreciate freedom, and therefore, when they saw all the years that they worked there, and now they came there as a free people, Pihachiros, this is the beginning of their freedom. However, if we look at the first part of the name of the location, we realize that Pihachiros may refer to freedom of the mouth. P is mouth, Peh. Chiros is freedom. Perhaps the Torah is teaching us something else. Pihachiros is the mouth of freedom, or the freedom of the mouth, or freedom of speech. Slaves are not allowed to speak freely, right? Rabbi Yosef Weinstock of Salvechik speaks about this extensively. He here does not quote the Rav. Slaves are not allowed to speak freely. They can only speak when spoken to. They are not at liberty to express or even possess, according to their captors, their own opinions. As mentioned, originally Piachiris was called Pisom, which some suggest is a contraction of the word Pi Sasum, a closed mouth. This place began known as Pisom, which some suggest is Pi Sasum, a closed up mouth. And then upon freedom, it becomes Pi Hachiros, the mouth of freedom. It was at Pisom that the Bnei Israel lost their freedom to speak. They lost their power of voice. They lost their freedom to protest through the slave labor. It is interesting to note that according to Parsha Shmos, three psukim later, which we also say in the Haggadah, the slavery came about because Vayimaru eschayim be'avodah kasha, b'chomer ulevenim, b'chol avodos amasher avdu b'hem b'farech. They were working with back-breaking labor, which some Midrashim understands that b'farech is perach, a soft mouth. So let's go again. They started enslavement by building pisom. What does that mean? The beginning of the slavery was at pisom. So we already quoted the Gemara. And it should never be an exercise in futility one's life. But now we're understanding on a deeper level that pisom is a contraction of the words pisosom, a closed mouth. Freedom began when they came to pi hachiros. Chirus is freedom. Chirus, freedom. Pi is mouth. When they came to pi hachiros, which was pisom, and they found the koach of voice, pi hachiros, the freed mouth, they went from pisom, pisosom, to pi hachiros. Now they find freedom. Furthermore, they work by avodas perech. The word is brought down both in Pesukim Yud Gimel and Yud Dalet of Perek Aleph, which the Medrash understands is a contraction of the words perech, a soft mouth. Because in Egypt, under slave conditions, the Jews were not able to speak up. They did not have the koach of voice. It was as if their mouths were soft because they couldn't use the koach of dibur. It should therefore be no surprise that Paro's name, Peresh Ayin He, can also be read as Pera, bad mouth. Peresh Ayin He, Pei He is Pe, made a letter spell Ra, evil speech, because Paro was one of evil speech. Or furthermore, after the Jews left Egypt, they find themselves in the desert, which is called the Midbar, whose letters can also be pronounced as Midaber, speaker. The Egyptians coerced us by means of words, pera, pisom, pisosom, perach. They took away our koach of voice. They closed up our power of speech. They enslaved us with the pera of Paro and his men. With freedom, we went to pi hachiros. The mouth found freedom. And in the midbar, midaber, we found our koach of voice once again. It was only after 210 years in Egypt, at pi hachiros, that we began to regain our freedom of speech. In light of this, we can answer, continues Rabbi Weinstock, a question asked by the Das Kein Mibal HaTosfos. The Das Kein Mibal HaTosfos points out that every time the location of pi hachiros is mentioned in the Torah, we are also told its geographic relation to Baal Tzifon. I'm going to screen share again because I forgot to point it out before. I want you to see that. Okay, so look. We're back to Shemos Yudalad base, okay? Zabrel b'nei Yisro, v'yachonu f'nei pi hachiros. Where is pi hachiros? Bein migdol u'bein ayam u'fnei Baal Tzifon. Okay. And then a few psukim later, in Pasuk Tes, pi hachiros is mentioned again, and the Egyptians chased after them, and they caught up with them camping by the sea, kosos rachav paru farashav, v'chelo, all the horse, and the chariots, and the riders, and the army, al pi hachiros u'fnei Baal Tzifon. Once again, pi hachiros is mentioned in connection to Baal Tzifon. What is the connection between pi hachiros and Baal Tzifon? That every time pi hachiros is mentioned, the Torah has to say, oh, it's by Baal Tzifon. This is the question that Das Kein Mibal HaTosfos. What does it matter that pi hachiros and Baal Tzifon are next to each other? The answer is that at pi hachiros, as we already established, Bnei Yisrael found freedom of voice, freedom of speech, which had been taken away from them at Pisom, Pesosom, by Paro, Pera, by Avodas Perach, Perach. Now they found it at pi hachiros, in the Midbar, where they would become a Midaber. And as we say in Halal, during the first two days of Pesach, it's in Kapitel Kuf Tes Vav, A major deficiency of idols, one of the deficiencies, many major deficiencies, but one of them is Pelahem v'lo yidaberu. They have a mouth, it's naim hem v'lo yishmu, and naim v'lo yiru, pelahem v'lo yidaberu. So it tells you that by pihachiros, in contradistinction to Baal Tzifon, Baal Tzifon's in Avodah Zarah, their Avodah Zarah, their religion, their mahalach gives them no koach adibor, but us, we should know, we have pihachiros, we have freedom of speech. The ability to freely speak is a gift and a responsibility that initially the B'nai Yisrael did not utilize effectively. Because we know that as soon as they run into trouble, were there not enough graves in Egypt that you took us out to die in the desert? Instead of answering with words, however, when they complained by Yamsuf, Hamibli, Ein Kfarim, B'mitzrayim, L'kachtan, L'muspa, Midbar, God splits the sea and caused the people to experience a revelation unlike anything that had taken place until that point. So they complained to Moshe. If I would go back to the screenshot, which I don't want to do right now, I just quote a pasuk from it. In Perek Yudalet, what happens is when they see that they're camped between the sea and the Egyptians, they start screaming at Moshe. Vayitzaku b'nei Yisrael Hashem. They start screaming, and they say, there aren't enough graves. You took us out to die in the desert. Isn't this what we told you? Leave us alone. V'navdas Mitzrayim. Tov lanu la'avodas Mitzrayim imusein b'midbar. Why'd you take us out? So initially, even though they attained freedom of speech, Pihachiros, in contradistinction to Baal Tzifon, Pelahem v'lo yidaberu, he had the gift of speech, but in the beginning we didn't know how to use it properly. What did Hashem do in response? Dabrel b'nei Yisrael v'yisrael. He doesn't answer them back. He just says, journey forth. He splits the sea, he makes a great miracle. And in response, what do the b'nei Yisrael do? They sing Shira. They use their voice, the Torah. They come to appreciate the power of voice. They utilize their freedom of speech in an effective and meaningful manner. So where did the exile begin? It began, well, in Egypt. But at which place in Egypt? As Vayivan are Miskonos the Paro. And the Gemara that says there, by the way, Miskonos from the word Miskain, like the unfortunates. Vayivan are Miskonos the Paro. They were Miskenos, Miskenim, because they had to build these storage cities. Es Pisom ve'es Ramses. So Pisom is, first of all, Pitahom. They work for futility. They built a whole building. At least they did something. They came back the next day. It had sunk into the earth. They had to do it again. They came back the next day. It was gone. They had to do it again. That's what I'm sure. But then we started to delve into the idea that so many aspects of the Galus Mitzrayim and then Geulas Mitzrayim are related to voice. The Galus is related to lack of speech, and the Geula is related to the gift of speech. Pisom Pisaho. Peace assume, a closed mouth, paro pera, avodas perach, perach. They were enslaved because their mouths were closed. Pi sasum. They were enslaved by paro, who had a pera. They were enslaved, which led to perach, a soft mouth. They did not have the strength, neither physical nor emotional, to speak up. And Geula comes when they camp by Pihachiros, which Rashi says, 14:2 in Shemos, Rashi says, ah, Pihachiros, this is Pisham. It's called Pihachiros because this is where they had Chirus, Geula. However, fascinating, Pihachiros also means freedom of the mouth or freedom of voice. Because when they were free, they were gifted with the Koach of Dibur. Therefore, they went into the Midbar where they came Midaber. Initially, however, because they were not used to using their mouth, productively, because they were used to pera, pisasum, and perach, they scream. They are ingrates. We should have died in Egypt. Hashem doesn't answer. Hashem says, instead of me answering, I'm just going to teach you a lesson. He split the sea, kriyas yamsuf, and in response, what do the B'nai Yisrael do? They use their voice to demonstrate their freedom and thanks. Az yashir Moshe B'nai Yisrael asa shira hazos. Atikach Mirman via Achos Ranas Hotov Biyada. But it's saying a call Nashim 15:20. Achre Betupum Mechomos. They go and they dance and they sing. And therefore, one of the major lessons of Pesach, I mean, it's amazing. I always say that the Lashonos of Torah are so important. I always say, you know, you can't make these things up. I just find them so powerful. If anyone needs a proof that there's a Ribono Shel Olam, yes, the blossoming trees are exquisite. I quoted the Ramban at the end of Parshas Bo. You have to see Hashem Teva. And the ability to breathe and think and walk and see and enjoy Hashem's world and eat. Yes, there are so many. Every aspect of our lives demonstrates that there is a God. But if anyone doubts the divinity of Torah, all you have to do is start learning insights like these. And you realize that a person can't make this up. It can't be written by a Basar Vadam like some religions and Kofrim say. It has to be divine. Who could put all these allusions to speech in captivity by the Galus Mitzrayim, by the Shiva Mitzrayim, and then speech in freedom by the Geulus Mitzrayim? So what do the B'nai Yisrael do? And that's Shvi Shal Pesach. What's the last day of Pesach? Okay, here we have an 8 day because we're in Galus. But what's Shvi Shal Pesach? The ability to sing. The ultimate use of our speech, the Tova, is singing Shira to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Tremendous. We ran from Pi Hachira, Pisom, Pisasum, Paro, Para, Arodas, Parach, Parach, to Pi Hachiros, which is also Pisom, but we're going to call it Pi Hachiros, because with Geula comes the call of a voice. With Geula comes freedom. With Geula comes Midbar, Midaber. But the B'nai Yisrael abused it initially. They didn't understand. Now, we don't blame them. First of all, we have our own problems with speech. Second of all, the Torah is written not to blame, but to teach. After 210 years in Egypt, Mitzarim, between the straits, they didn't understand what the gift of Korach HaDibur was. Oh, I just thought of something. Wow, I just thought of something. Okay, 1 second. I just thought of something. 1 second. Let me just finish my sentence. They didn't understand what the Korach HaDibur was, so initially they complained. Leave us alone. What's the lashon I quoted it before? Better for us to work and enslave the Egyptians than to die in the desert. Hashem doesn't answer. Hashem says, I know you're young. I know you're like a child having a tantrum. I know you're not mature yet. Ben Yak, you're Leah Ephraim. You're like a little child in maturity. I'm just going to show you something. I'm going to split the sea. And the B'nai Yisrael do in response by Pi Hachiros, where they found freedom of voice, going into the Midbar, where they would become a Midaber. They find the Korach of voice as Yashir Moshe B'nai Yisrael. They sing Shira. I thought of something very cool. Because you can't make this up. That's what I was in the middle of saying. You can't make up Pisom, Paro, Ferach, on the one hand, which demonstrates slavery, as we have explained, and Piachiros and Midbar and Shiros Hayam, which represents Chirus, as we have explained. And then as I was speaking, I realized something incredible, that the word Mitzrayim, which is where we were enslaved and from where we went free, obviously, which we refer to in our Kiddush and in our Tfilos and all the time, Moshe Shem Pika says, why do we always refer to Mitzrayim? Because there were two Briyas HaOlam. There was really only one, but just the same. There's a Briyas HaOlam, a Briyas HaOlam. Okay. Perak Al Barishis, Psukim Alfu Lamed Alf, Ayal Kimes Kosher Asa, Vihine Tov Ma'od, Vayir, Vayi Bokar, Yamashishi. There was Briyas HaOlam. The world was created. And there's another Briyas HaOlam, which is Yitzias Mitzrayim, says Rav Pinkas. That wasn't Briyas HaOlam for the whole Olam. That was Briyas HaOlam for the Yiddish Welt. When was Klal Yisrael created? Klal Yisrael was forged in Egypt, and we were created by Yitzias Mitzrayim. Right now we're counting. It's day 18 of Omer. We're counting towards Matan Torah. So our birth was by Yitzias Mitzrayim. And we became spiritually free by Matan Torah. Put it together. So therefore, we're always referring to Yitzias Mitzrayim. So I realized something so interesting. Mitzrayim, Mem Sadi Reish Yod Mem, starts with a Mem and ends with a Mem. This is so interesting. Oh my gosh. Baruch Pokech Ivrim. Wow. Wow. Mitzrayim starts with a Mem and ends with a Mem. Guess what else starts with a Mem and ends with a Mem? Tarsha Baal Peh. Torah Shebichtav begins with a base and ends with a lamed because Torah is the heart, the lave of Klal Yisrael. But guess what else begins with a mem and ends with a mem? Torah Shebaal Peh. We begin in Maseches Brachos and we end in Maseches Uktin. How does Maseches Brachos begin? Talking about Torah Shebaal Peh, Shisha Sidra Mishnah Mishnais. Shas, Shisha Sidra Mishnah. Mei Imasai Korin Es Hashema. The first thing you learn when you open a Maseches Brachos from when can you recite the Shema? You have to see your friend when there's just enough light to see your friend, which Rabbi Dr. Norman Lam has said, Gevaldik Pshat. But okay, you can't be Mekabel O Mechus Shemaim upon yourself until you're able to see your friend. I guess it relates to Shemir Salashon also. Recitation of the Shema is being Mekabel O Mechus Shemaim upon yourself. Mitzvah D'oraisa. Dvarim begins in Dvarim Perek Vav Pasuk Dalet. Shema Yisrael Shem HaKadosh Shem Echad V'Hafta Shem HaKecha. You want to be V'Hafta Shem HaKecha? You want to be Mekama O Mechu Shemayim upon yourself? May Messiah Koran Yisrael Shema. From when can you read the Shema? And you can see your friend at a distance. In other words, if it's too dark, it's teaching you a halachic zman. If it's too dark, it's not the zman kriya shema shel shachris. But once you can see the shadow, the outline of your friend, now you know there's enough light to say shema. Okay, good. They didn't walk around with cell phones and they didn't have the satellite time. So Chazal had to come up with a measure of time that you could recite the shema. You could recite the shema when you can see your friend. That means it's not pitch black middle of the night. That means the morning sun, the morning dawn has broken. Rabbi Dr. Norman Lam, Zichron Levracha, has a beautiful interpretation. He says, what does that mean? You can recite the Shema when you could see your friend. The reason I decided to elaborate on this in the middle of the Shir is because it does relate to Inyanei Shemir Salashon and Saras. You want to be an Eved Hashem who's Makaba Oma Achushamayim upon yourself? No problem. You have to be able to see your friend. You can't have Ben Adam Makum without Ben Adam Echaveiro. You don't see your friend's pain. You don't see your friend's needs. You don't see your friend's wants. You don't see that your friend is created B'Tzelem Elokim just like you're created B'Tzelem Elokim. You don't see the dignity uncovered in your fellow Jew, which is what leads to Lashon Hara, by the way. I quoted the seven reasons. The Gemara says, an Erech in Tazayin Av, Lashon Hara Klebs. So when you have Tzarus Ayin, you certainly don't see your friend. And when you have Gassus or Ruach, you also don't see your friend. I don't mean literally. You might literally see your friend. You understand what I mean? You don't religiously, proverbially, metaphysically, emotionally see your friend. No, you don't. You see her deficiencies, her failings. That's not what Hashem wants you to see. May Ema Sai Karna Tashema. From when can you read the Shema? When you can see your friend from a distance. You want to be Machamba Oma Chushamayim upon yourself? Say Chazal, no problem. First, you have to see your fellow Yid. Tomorrow is Yom HaZikaron. Something to keep in mind. Whether religiously you hold every day is a day or not. There have been thousands of korbanos as a result of the establishment of the great gift of Medina Israel, and they are Jews who have fallen. So whether you religiously or politically hold over there or not, doesn't matter. Can't ignore the pain of a fellow Yid. Say a kapitul tehillim. Cry. Say a tefillah. You know how many Jews tomorrow are going to go to the military cemeteries throughout Eretz Yisrael and stand by the graves of the fallen? It's your brother and sister. You don't hold over the day? Okay, you don't have to hold over there. Politically, religiously, whatever your rabbi, whatever your mahalach, but you're not hold of the pain of a fellow Jew, there's no such thing. You want to know when you can recite the Shema, when you can see the pain of your Yid, when you can see your Jew at a distance, when you can see your friend, now you can recite the Shema, when you have Ben Adam Chaveru. By the way, and if we have proper Ben Adam Chaveru, we won't speak Lashon Hara. And we will really have Piachiros, we will be a Medaber, we will find Koach of voice and Shem Shira. Then you can be Mekava Amachos Shemai upon yourself, Gevaldik, that's from Rabbi Dr. Norman Lam. Okay. But what I'm saying that I realized in the middle is, wow, all of this allusion in the Lashon of Torah and Chazal to bondage of speech and freedom of speech, and I was saying that you can't make this up, bondage of speech and freedom of speech, pisum, pisasum, paro, para, perach, what is perach, perach, freedom is by pihachiros. Freedom is found by when man becomes a midaber in the midbar. Freedom is found through Shira. Then I realized something incredible. The word Mitzrayim begins with a mem and ends with a mem. And then I told you what else begins with a mem and ends with a mem. Tar Shabbat Peh. Shas. Yusuf Sidra Mishnah. It begins with Me'em Asai Koran Asa Shema, which I just gave you a drash on. And it ends with Uktin. Perek Gimel. Mishnah Yud Beis. That's the very last Mishnah in Shas Mishnayos. Amar Rabbi Shimon Bechalafta. Uktin Gimel Yerbeis. Amar Rabbi Shimon Bechalafta. Lo Matzah Kosh Baruch Hu Kli Mechzik Baruch Hu Lisha Ela HaShalom. Rabbi Shimon Bechalafta says, okay, now you learn through the entire Shas. You know what you have to know? What's the most important vehicle for blessing, vessel for blessing that Kosh Baruch Hu found for Yisrael? Shalom. The most important thing, Im Ein Shalom Ein Klum. As she says on Chavash. Furthermore, we know Mikan Shalom Shkula Kenegar Kol. Shalom's everything. First, how do the Berakos Kohanim end? Shalom. How do we Ohev Shalom Verodah Shalom Ohev Zabrusim Makarv in the Torah? Pirkei Avos Pirkei Av Mishnei Yabez Aaron Akoin. So Rabbi Shimon Bechalafta says, Nothing better for Israel than Sham. How do you know? Shenemar, like the Pasuk says, Hashem oz the Amoyitin, Hashem Yivarachas Amo, Pasuk from Telem, Bashalom. Hashem oz the Amoyitin, Hashem will give strength to his nation, Hashem Yivarachas Amo, Bashalom. What's the first letter of Shas Mishnayos? She says, Misha, Tarsha, Apeh, Me'e Masai, from when? Mem. What's the last letter of Shas Mishnayos? I just told it to you, Shalom. What's the last letter? Mem. Shas begins with a mem and ends with a mem. This is not my own insight. I am not intuitive enough to consider or think about this. This comes from the Rav Shitzer Rebbe. It's brought down in Sefer Rav Shitzer Rebbe, and my son shared it with me. Rav Shitzer Rebbe says, why does Shas begin with a mem and end with a mem? Because it's the only letter. Oh my gosh, this is unbelievable. Because Mitzrayim begins with a mem and ends with a mem. And after everything we've spoken about today, this is... wow. Says the great Rav Shitzer Rebbe, my husband is 8 or 9 generations ben achar ben. I think my husband is 8. My father-in-law knows the whole, my father-in-law has given it to us many times, the whole line, yichus, each door. I think my boys are 9th generation ben achar ben from Ranoftalit Tzimi Rapshis, Zuchos Hayagin Aleinu. So the Rav Shitzer Rebbe teaches my husband's great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather, ben achar ben. Why, and this is what was told to me by my son, Aryeh, why does Torah Shebaal Peh begin with a mem and end with a mem? So the answer is because mem is the only letter in the alphabet. Ready? That begins with your mouth. Look, I'm going to say a mem. You make a mem. Make a mem with me. I'm not joking. Look. Mem. 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 If they're listening on Y-Tar, they're probably going to think I'm very strange. But do it while you're listening to the shiur. Mem. The only letter in the alphabet that begins with your mouth closed. Oh my God, this is not normal. This is not normal. Whoa. We didn't get to the Kiyokar. We need a 2-hour class. Whew. We're going to have to wait till next time, Be'ezrat Hashem. We should be well. Mem is the only letter in the alphabet that begins with your mouth closed. Then open. I can't do it while I'm talking. That's why I told you, make a mem and pay attention to your mouth. I want you to make a mem and pay attention to your mouth, okay? It begins with your mouth closed. Then it's open, and then it's closed. Now do it, now that I told you that. Mem. Do you see? Mem. Closed. Oh, I'm not trying to be silly. Or sound like a cow who's mooing in the field. I'm being serious. Do it. Mem. Okay. It's the only other option to have a point. So that begins with your mouth closed, open, closed. What's the pshat? Says the Rav Shitzer Rebbe. What's the Torah trying to teach you? Your mouth should always be closed. Open it only for divrei Torah, shas. And when you're done speaking Torah, close it. Don't walk around with your mouth open the whole day. Again, this doesn't mean if you have a cold and you're breathing through your mouth. It means metaphysically, don't run around with your mouth open the whole time. If you have nothing Torahdik to say, by the way, Torahdik includes Bein Adam Chaveiro, building up another person, making bracho, saying Tehillim, giving Shir, saying a Dvar Torah, singing Shira Tashem, complimenting your friend. If you have something productive to say, anything productive is included in Kol Torah Kula. So the Shas represents Kol Torah Kula. Oh my gosh. So your mouth should be closed. Nothing constructive, productive, or Eved Hashem dik to say. Then open it when you have something to say, and close it when you have something to say. Therefore, Shas begins with a mem. Your mouth is closed, because you didn't start the Torah. Then you start learning, open your mouth, for learning, for Torah, for Ben Adam HaChaveiro, Me'em HaSai Korin HaSashema, when you can see your friend. You have something nice to say to your friend, say it. You have something nice to build her up, Gevaldik. You don't have anything nice to say, you finish with Torah, Kav Yachom, never finish with Torah, close your mouth. And therefore, says Rav Shitzer Rebbe, the only letter that's your mouth closed, open, closed, and the Alpes is a mem, and that's how Torah Shabbat Peh begins, and that's how Torah Shabbat Peh ends. It's interesting, because if you even think of the shape of a mem, oh wow, it gets even better. Oh my God, it gets even better. Whoa! Mitzrayim also begins with a mem and ends with a mem. That's how this whole thing started. Whoo! Wow! So does the pasuk from Tehillim Kuf Yud Tes, Ma Ahavti Sarasecha. It doesn't end with a mem, but Ma begins with a mem. Kol Yamisi Chasi. Okay, wait a second, it gets even better, because if we think of a mem in block letters, not in script, mem, even in Rashi letters actually, mem begins with a small opening at the bottom. So the first mem indicates an opening, and the final mem is totally mem sophis, or ender mem, like my boys used to say when they were younger, they were learning the outbase. Regular mem block begins with a little opening at the bottom, because it's telling you you're about to start Torah. There's an opening. Open your mouth going forward. But when you get to the word shalom, which is the conclusion of Shas, it's a mem sophis or an ender mem. What's the final mem? Totally closed. Even the structure of the mem teaches you, oh my gosh, as you begin learning, mei emasai, it's not an ender mem, it's a beginning mem. There's a little opening at the bottom of the mem to teach you that you should open your mouth for Torah, because you're beginning a journey through Shas. In fact, the opening of the mem is not on the right side, it's on the left side, because you're starting to move into Shas. Now when you get to the end, you have nothing Torah to say anymore, Chas v'Sham, close your mouth. And the final mem, the ender mem, not all final letters are, nun is in a circle, it's not closed. but mem is completely closed to tell you, now you came to the end. Oh, so the Rav Shitzur Rebbe says that Parsha Baal Peh begins and ends with mem to teach you that you should keep your mouth closed. When you have something Torah to say, you should open your mouth. If you have nothing Torah to say, in other words, if you have Tsaras Ayin, Gasus Aruch, Lashon Hara, Shvichus Damim, metaphysically, we've learned here in the Gemara and Erechim, Tesvav, that a person who speaks Lashon Hara kills three people. You have nothing nice to say, so you should keep your mouth closed. So I was thinking, based on everything that we learned today, that the Galus, is represented in all those words in Lashon HaKodesh, Lashon HaTorah, that indicate absence of speech. And the Geula is represented by words in Lashon HaKodesh, K'nat Ma'aron De'ivri, Lashon HaKodesh, Lashon HaTorah, that represents freedom. And all of a sudden it occurred to me that Mitzrayim itself tells us about this journey. Mitzrayim begins with a mem and ends with a mem. Because what's the lesson we're supposed to take from Yetzi'at Mitzrayim? Leaving Egypt. Lesson of Koach HaDibur, granted to free men. When you leave Mitzrayim, always remember that the word Mitzrayim begins with a mem and ends with a mem. What's the lesson of Egypt? You were granted the Koach HaDibur. You went into the Midbar where you became a Midaber, Kampai Pi Hachirus, which is the freedom of the mouth. You sang Shira to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And therefore, the word Mitzrayim alludes to this in the structure of the word itself. So you could say, well, that's the word. No, Hashem didn't do anything stam. Nothing is stam. It could have been Mitzri, and then you wouldn't have thought it's weird. It could have been something else. It didn't have to be Mitzrayim that begins with a mem and ends with a mem, because like we say 1,000 times, nothing in the Torah is an accident. Nothing. So that's Hashem saying, you are granted the koach of voice. You're granted the koach of call. You're granted the koach to become a medaber. Salvechik says that in medieval Hebrew, man is known as a medaber. The Rav says, because such is the distinction of man, that he is a koach to be a speaker. But Mitzrayim teaches us, yes, you are granted the koach of voice, but your mouth should not always be open. The mark of a free man is the ability to speech, but the mark of a Jew is the choice to use our speech constructively and productively. Whether it's the Divrei Torah, or a Shir, or Tehillim, or Torah learning, Mechamta Shel Torah, or singing Shira, or seeing your friend, seeing her pain, seeing her needs, seeing her concerns, speaking productively because you see the Tzalem Elokim in somebody else. But if you have nothing to say, Mitzrayim teaches us, make sure your mouth is closed. The beginning mem is open, because with Egypt, you were granted the Koach HaDibur, and like we've proven, with Yitzias Mitzrayim, I should say, we are granted the Koach of Dibur. So the first mem is open, but the final mem is closed. To tell you that if you do not have anything productive to say as a free person, choose life. And how do you choose life? Mi Yisha Chafetz Chaim Oiv Yom Merstov. Oh my gosh, Torah is unbelievable. Nitzar L'shoncha Meira. Oh my God, it's not normal. Meira. Begins with a mem. Guard your mouth from speaking evil. Mitzrayim teaches you that your mouth should be open. The beginning mem. But it also teaches you that there are times your mouth should be closed. And the middle letters, of course, are tzadi resh. If it's chaser without the yud. Tsar. Sarus Ayan is one of the causes of Lashon Hara. Don't have stingy eye. Don't have negative eye. Stay away from a leads Lashon Hara. And if you scramble letters, it spells rats, run. Always going to do mitzvahs. And if you write it Malay with the yud, it spells yetzer. You have a choice. You can use your yetzer tov to open your mouth, the first mem, to speak well and wisely. Chas v'sham, you can use your yetzer hara to see the tsarus ayin with your tsarus ayin. Or, you know, and to keep your mouth closed. Okay, I will end. I hope everyone understood. It's really tremendous. I think I explained it. I hope. Enough. Well, just to end with the last paragraph of Rabbi Yosef Weinstock. The Maharal writes, this is very famous, the Maharal writes that the word Pesach is also a contraction. This is very famous. I didn't know it was the Maharal. It's just a famous word. I never knew it was from the Maharal. Maybe I did and I forgot. It's a famous word. The Maharal writes to bring the whole shir together that Pesach is a contraction of two words. Pesach. It's a play on words. Kasach is sinchas and Pesach is samichas. But they're interchangeable. Pesach is the mouth that speaks. Sicha is speech. Pesach. On the Yom Tov of Pesach, we celebrate our transition from slavery to freedom, marking the journey of the lack of speech and the closed mouth to the granting of the gift of speech by Piachiros when we became a medaber and sang Shira in the desert. But don't forget, says the Rapsha Tzareba, that Mem is the only letter that begins with your mouth open. Closed, open, closed. Keep your mouth closed. But when you have something nice to say, i.e. Devrei Torah, Shas, open it. And then when you have nothing nice to say, close it again. So too our journey to, within, and from Mitzrayim. We are granted the koch to open our mouths, the first Mem. But don't forget, as a free person, you can also choose when to keep your mouth closed. Says the Maharal, Pesach is Pesach, the mouth that speaks. Finishes Rabbi Weinstock, Pesach celebrates the discovery of our unified voice and the liberation of our national power of speech. Just as God did then, may he give us the insight and strength to utilize our personal communal voices today and always in a powerful and productive manner. Okay. So what's the lesson of Pesach? We must use our speech and use it very well, because that is truly the mark of a free man. May Emasai Koronis Hashema. You want to be Makaba Oma Chushab Maim upon yourself. Make sure that you see your friend. And you will only see your friend. Mi Yisha Chavetz Chaim Ovamim Lir Ot Tov. When you truly see your friend and the Tzal Melkim within him or her, then you will be Nitzal Shancha Meira. There's the mem. Shasacha Medaber Mirma. I love Torah. I hope you also love Torah. I don't know if there's anything to say. It's so amazing. I wish you all a wonderful day. We should have a tremendous Yata Deshmai in Inanishmer Salashon. Please God, Be'ezrat Hashem, we will get to the unbelievable teaching of the Kli Yakar with added insights. Next time, thank you so much to all and to our anonymous sponsor, Tizkul Mitzvos, Ulamayisim Tovim. Kol Tov, thank you everybody.